It's time to relax with the Offspring.
Okay.
Well, we're back. No guests. Just the three of us.
Just the three of us.
Yeah. I wanted to let your personality shine this time, Black.
Oh, shit.
You know, sometimes you just get overshadowed by all the other personality. And sometimes, I just want to make sure that you get your moment in the sun.
I actually think that's a good thing, you know. I try to keep my personality like way dialed down, you know, because
do people know at this point? I know we said it like once, but then people were probably like, who the fuck is this guy, this blackball guy?
Who's
right?
our Baba Booey?
Blackball, yeah. Baba Booey. Yeah, blackball is our keep him separated guy.
Yes.
Yeah. We discovered it in a show.
Throw him some sugar, Blackball. How's it go? How's the line go?
You got to keep them separated.
There it is.
That's it right there.
Bam.
30 years later, that's a long 15 minutes, man.
Now, that's not your only line.
I would hire you today.
Yeah, see? Listen, audition.
What are some of your other classic lines from Offspring?
Okay, classic, let me see. Mota.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Oh,
right?
From like the bad times. Do people like hire you for parties and stuff?
I should have a cameo, I think, right?
cameo.
99-cent cameo. Come on, guys. Like,
99 cents.
Let me quit one of my jobs, please.
Oh, man. Yeah. And as I remember that day, we didn't have any money to pay you, so we bought you In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Bought you a double double.
In fact, that's where I literally came from right now. As soon as I got off the plane here, stopped In-N-Out. That's my very first stop every single time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think that was well compensated. No complaints for me.
No regrets.
No complaints. Yeah. Like, In-N-Out. Everyone's like, dude, you should get more. I said, dude, I got paid. What the fuck are you talking about?
You got In-N-Out.
I got two double doubles.
Picture with Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Right?
Yeah. Warren G was recording in the same studio.
Right.
And, I remember, what was that one fucking nerd? He used to be in a band. I forget his name. Anyways, I think he's an old drummer, something. But he was so fucking scared. Like, he's like, oh, dude. I'm like, oh, shit, dude. I said, fucking Snoop Dogg's right there. I said, I'm going to go ask for a picture. I just happened to have my camera in the car. And he's like, no. I'm like, dude, what's the worst he's going to do? Like, is he going to look at me and say, get the fuck out of here. No. Oh, no. Like, I've been told no for a lot more fucking
things I've wanted than
a picture of Snoop Dogg. Like, yeah. And so I went and I asked him. I said, hey, Snoop, can I get a picture? And he's like, yeah, it's cool. Just all laid back, like in his total Snoop tone.
He was sitting
there playing video games, right? And so then he kind of came in and he hung out for about 15 minutes or so. I remember.
Yeah, he just did.
Super cool guy, you know.
Even us being in the same studio as Warren G is like, what the hell are we doing here? Because we were like
in the low,
cheap studios or whatever. Yeah. And I think we were finishing up Smash, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
And so we had to go to a better studio, at least for the mix, you know, the cheap studios to record the guitars and stuff. But we were trying to have a decent studio for the mix, and Warren G happened to be next door.
I thought you guys were fucking loaded because all the nice cars when I pulled up. I didn't know that you still drove that piece of shit brown truck. I thought that was a janitor's truck or something, right? So I see all these super nice cars. So I'm like, holy fuck. It turns out that's all Snoop Dogg and that whole entourage,
it's
right?
It's all them, yeah.
Yeah.
But he was hanging out, and he was nice enough to take a photo with you.
Yeah, I got my picture with Snoop Dogg, which has, you know, been a highlight for me. You know, like, I literally just bought that CD, Doggy Style, like, maybe a month before that, right? So I was so stoked on it, you know? So I was super excited about it. But, yeah, like, I remember one of the other members was like, no, don't ask. Fuck, I'm not going to ask Snoop. It's fucking right here. I'm not going to ask.
Picture with Snoop Dogg, double-double.
Two double-doubles.
Oh, that's right. We splurged. Got you two.
I could order anything I wanted, so I got some animal-style fries, two double-doubles, and a large drink.
I do.
I fucking took you guys to the cleaners.
We're givers.
I seen you guys a mile away. I fucking took you guys to the cleaners.
We had Epitaph pay for it.
And on top of that, you became the keep them separated guy all in one day.
That's a pretty good day. Well, I remember, like, you were saying, you're like, yeah, you know, I don't know if the record's pretty much done, so I don't know if the song's going to be on it or not. I said, look, I don't fucking care. I just recorded a song with one of my favorite bands. How fucking cool is that, right? Like, and so then I, We're in at Iguanas in Tijuana. Was the first time you gave me a copy. I think it was like Bad Religion was playing down there.
Yeah,
yeah, we opened up for Bad Religion.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, you gave me a copy of the cassette, and you're like, yeah, it's not going to be on there. I said, fuck, I don't care. And you're like, no, I'm just kidding. Like, they fucking love it, and they want it on the radio. And I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, dude, and we're going to record a video. And I'm like, oh, and you're like, are you going to be in it? I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, yeah, it was kind of fucking wild.
It was crazy. Also, yeah. Crazy time.
Yeah, yeah. Come out, play come out and play was the last song that we wrote for the album. So, you know, maybe there was something. I didn't worry about it anymore. Just write whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, sometimes the best stuff happens that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember you were coming
and here
up.
I am.
You were hitting me up for a cassette, and I had it in my pocket, but I told you I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, what's up? And you push me in my chest, and it went
jingle,
that sound of the. You know that kind of plasticky, jiggly sound that a cassette makes? And you go, hey, what's
motherfucker.
Up?
Motherfucker.
Had to see you out. Oh, you got busted.
Had the cassette. The cassette.
The cassette. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure I still have that. I actually just found a cassette of when I did Love Lines with you guys, with Ricky Rackman, that one time. And my wife recorded it, you know, off the radio. And so, yeah, I literally just found that cassette, too. So,
well, if you ever need some of this old stuff, talk to your buddy Daryl. Daryl Kennedy.
Daryl
is
the
stuff.
He's got it all right.
He's the offspring, you know. If you got, you guys need anything.
I think there's an old friend of ours who kind of sold some of this stuff without us being aware of it.
Maybe.
Every once in a while, that stuff shows up.
He's got it all, man. Got it all cataloged and...
Well, cassettes were the way you had to do everything back then. I mean, you couldn't make a record in your bedroom, right? And cassettes, you don't think you can record. And CDs weren't really a thing.
If you did, you used a Tascam, and it was a cassette,
right? Yeah, yeah, it was a cassette. Yeah, yeah. Our first record, our self-titled record, we were so thrilled to be signed to Nemesis Cargo, whatever you call it, right? And he said, "Well, we're not going to do CDs on you guys," which was kind of. He saved the CDs for his better-selling bands.
I remember that.
I think we're just going to do vinyl and cassette and see how it goes. So we didn't get any CDs out on that record for 10 years. But so when we finally signed Epitaph and did Ignition, and I actually got an actual CD, I was like, oh, my God.
I remember.
We fucking made it.
We made
a CD. I remember your parents were gone or something, so we're sitting in your backyard, and you had the 5 disc changer.
Yeah.
And it was like Jane's Addiction, Us, Bad Religion, maybe Social D, and then probably Creedence Clearwater Revival. Yeah. And
look at this. It was the same CD changer.
Take it in, boys.
We put it on shuffle. And it was playing like our songs in between all this other great song, you know, great music that we loved. It was a really cool feeling.
That's right. So speaking of which, we are coming up on the 30th anniversary of
me.
Play.
Yeah. Of me.
Yeah. Wow. You.
That's a long 15 minutes, man. Yeah.
I guess.
A long 15 minutes. Yeah. Holy shit.
You know what? I think about that a lot. I can't believe, you know, I mean, it was one thing to be lucky enough to have a hit, one hit, you know.
Yeah.
We're still doing this 30 years later. We still get to do this. And we were doing it 10 years then, you know, so we've been doing this for quite a while now.
Quite a while. Yeah. You've outlasted a lot of people around here.
Yeah. I'm one of the OGs now at this point, right?
Including some wives, you know.
Here I am, baby. Cancer. I can't. Yeah, you can't get rid of me.
Oh man,
I was thinking herpes.
So, I remember one of the big moments is when I was just watching TV on a Saturday afternoon and the USC marching band played the song.
Whoa!
Yeah. And you know, of course, I went to USC, so it was like a really cool moment. But I'm hearing that UCLA played it. Is that right? Do you know
they
about
did.
This?
Yeah, I heard they just played it just recently.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy the amount that it's still played. Like I watch a lot of hockey, right? And I see it all the time. At hockey games, and I've been at games with the kids, and I'm just, you know, with my kids, and there's a fight, and then you hear it play, and I'm like, your fucking dad's cool. See, you hear that? Your dad is cool.
Now you say your dad's cool.
Yeah.
We used to talk about before it ever got played, and we're going, man, this would be the perfect fight song at a hockey game,
right?
Never thinking that it would happen, but It really
did. You've
always
been. Let's talk about it. You've always been a Kings fan.
Always been a Kings fan.
And now you're kind of a Kraken fan. Still a Kings fan.
100%. It's kind of a weird.
Is that what you call Kraken fans? Yeah,
well, I figure that's what everyone's gonna fucking call us. So I might as well embrace it and you know what? I don't fucking care. You know, right. I grew up a Kings fan. I remember I went to my first game when I was my older brother. He got tickets from his work, and he says, "Hey, Jason, go to the game with me." You know, this was back, you know, I was in high school. He's like, "Hey, come to the game with me," and I'm like, "Dude, I don't know shit about hockey." And he's like, "Oh, come on, I don't have no one to go with. I'll buy you a couple of beers." So of course, 15-year-old me is like, right. "Fuck yeah," you know.
Yeah.
So we drink a couple beers in the car. We go in, and I'll never forget, it was the Kings versus Blackhawks, and we're about four rows above the penalty box. And this was back when helmets were optional. You could still put there was no fight straps on the jersey, so you'd pull them over your head. And the Kings and the player and the Blackhawks player.
I didn't even know you needed fight straps on jerseys, but
now
it makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. And they're sitting in the penalty box yelling at each other, fuck you. And I could read, I'm like, holy shit. They get out the penalty box. They fucking fight right in front of me. They got to bring out a mop, mop up the blood. And I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on, but I love this.
Drinking beer and blood.
It was a huge fight where, I mean, like I said, jersey over the head.
Occasional goal.
Throwing haymakers. I said, holy fuck, I love this. And so then after that, I just kind of became a hockey fan. And I was working at McDonald's at the time, me and my buddy. And so when we were seniors, we bought season tickets for the Kings. So we bought the two season tickets and then I just been a Kings fan ever since. Right. And then when I moved to Seattle in 95, and so we got a team up there, and, Seattle's
it's
my
home,
right?
It's been that long, 95? 95. You moved up there? I can't believe it's
95.
Jeez.
Now, people probably figure because you're the Keep Them Separated guy, you must be like a multimillionaire and, big house, fancy cars, but that's actually not the case, right?
I got paid two double-doubles, and I think we just established my pay here.
So you're you got a regular job, right?
Yeah, I'm an insurance adjuster. Imagine that.
What does an insurance adjuster do?
So when you wreck your car... Yeah, and you call your insurance company. I'm the guy who comes out and looks at your car.
And you decide how much it's worth?
Or if it's worth fixing? Yeah, exactly. So I'm the one who says, this is what we're going to pay. I'm the one who works with the shops and works with the customers and stuff like that. So then
people must try to talk you up and say, hey, we need more for this car or something like that, right? I mean,
you get worked? Well, not necessarily. It's actually pretty... You know, I think if you get me for an insurance adjuster, I think you're pretty lucky. I
would say so. Yeah.
I think I'm good at my job. I think I know the
your bosses might listen to this now.
Yeah. I'm very accurate on my estimates, and I never pay a penny more than I. Like I said, I do.
I imagine a lot of it's just computers now, anyways, and it's just algorithm.
Oh, dude, you just press a button. You're like, that's a part. That part looks fucked up, and you press a button, replace. Right. You know, it's essentially like that, yeah.
And you just got a new job, like with State Farm or something
like that? Yeah, I'm at the farm now, yeah.
At the farm?
Yeah.
One of the best companies in the country, I'm sure, right?
State Farm. It's Jason from State Farm. I know I sound hideous, you know. But we're just saying how terrible I looked on the camera, so it all makes sense.
But you've told me some stories. You've seen some crazy shit. Like, you'll have to go to, because it's like an accident scene or something.
Yeah.
You talked about some guy committing suicide.
I had to go look at a horse trailer where the guy, it was like a bitter divorce, right? And so he went to where their kid was getting horse lessons, and so he didn't pick his kid up to go take him to the horse lessons, and so he went to the ex-wife was taking him, and his car's there, and he's like, I'm in the horse trailer. She went to the horse trailer. He took a shotgun and blew himself up right in the head. So it wasn't even his horse trailer, right? It was the guy. So I went out there, I opened the door, and there's fucking little pieces of skull and hair just kind of, and you can see where he was sitting. Yeah, I was pretty fucking, that was one of the gnarliest ones. And then also where homeless dude, stole a gardener's truck, right? A landscaper's truck, and led the police on a high speed chase, and then he took a shit in a truck. I'm like, I open a door and there's just this fucking human turd, you know? And I'm just like, where's total loss.
Yeah, what's the button?
Don't touch anything.
Total loss.
Yeah. Total loss.
What's the button for turd, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, you know, all you see this fucking log of turd, right?
I'm thinking the hobo orgy from the other guys?
Yeah.
Adam McKay.
Well, you know, I was talking to one of my buddies. He works for a different carrier, and he was on the 101 in Washington, which is up the coast by the rainforest, right? And a bear came out, and the car hit the bear. The bear flew up into the windshield, and his ass went through the windshield and died. And then
his ass died?
No, the whole bear died. But then wait, there's more. The horse, I mean the bear shit all over after he died, both people in the front of the car. So, yeah. Oh,
but the people survived.
Yeah, just covered in bear shit.
Okay. So it's not easy being an insurance adjuster. Like, you get hazard pay, PTSD pay.
You know, listen, they pay me a double-double.
Mental anguish.
I get paid more than that than I do the...
But you can't get double-doubles up in Washington.
No, there's no in and out.
No in and out. We need that. If anyone's listening that can make that happen, please make that happen.
Mr. In and Out, if you're listening.
It's creeping up the coast, right? It's in Eugene now. I think they're going to be getting one in Portland here. So I'm hoping sooner. Listen, it's probably better. I'd probably be 100 pounds heavier if there wasn't In and Out up there. So it works out for the best, right? Like, again, as soon as I flew in, the first thing I did, first stop always is at In-N-Out.
You flew down today just for the podcast, right? So you're in Seattle and we're down in Orange County, LA here. So, and your stop on the way was In-N-Out.
And the last stop before I fly back out to In-N-Out. So
two double doubles?
Yeah, two double doubles. You know the drill, man. I'll send you the bill.
Dexter and I have been setting aside the double doubles. We've both been trying to diet and exercise.
That's right.
He exercises more than I do, quite a bit more. But I
a little
still
bit.
Try. I try. Want to talk bit. About some of the training and some of the exercising you've been doing? What you have been doing?
Tell them what you've been doing. Yes, I'd like
what
to know.
What I've been doing?
Oh, sure.
I've been doing shit. This young gentleman here, though, has been doing half Ironman competition.
Well, sort of.
Looking svelte.
It's not a whole Ironman. It's just a half Ironman, right?
Yeah. It's copper.
That's still, it's what, a 1.2 miles swimming, right?
It's a 1.2 mile. It's a triathlon, so that means you swim and then you bike and then you run.
Right.
So it's a 1.2 mile swim. Then you get out of the water and you get on your bike and you do a 56 mile bike.
56 mile bike.
It's a long bike.
3 hours.
And then you get off the bike and then you run a half marathon, which is 13.1 miles. So it's a long way.
Did one just over a week and a half ago.
I just did. I've always kind of run like since high school.
Always.
We've talked
cross
about
country,
how like we
yeah.
yeah we kind of started the band through cross country in high school and all that stuff.
I ran too, but it was usually when I was being
chased by the police,
by other classmates.
You look like a runner too. I can see that.
My diet is poverty and depression, if you're wondering. So
I like that.
Works too.
Yeah. But you know, like as we all, whatever, we get older, you just can't run as much as you used to. It's just as hard on the body, hard on the knees or whatever. And so, so I decided.
So you're only doing half marathons on top of bike rides and swims.
Yeah. So a few years ago, I thought, you know, I'll try this whole triathlon thing, right? Which maybe it's a bad idea. I should have started it in my 30s or whatever. But I like it. I like that I still get the workouts in, but I'm not just, you know, hammering my knees all the time or whatever, right?
Yeah,
so I'm able to kind of space it out. And so, so I've done a couple, this was my third. This is my third half Ironman, right?
And you've done a couple of marathons before.
I did a couple marathons, like 15 years ago, the LA Marathon, right? Yeah. And so this, they do Ironmans and half Ironmans all over the country. It's a whole thing. But this one was in Muncie, Indiana.
All right.
I chose Muncie because it's flat and it's cool.
The weather's not
really cool.
Not too hot.
You don't want to pick someplace hot.
So you're cool.
I don't want to go to Florida or not that I don't love Florida, but I mean it's probably
not really
tougher.
Marathon. Right. When you're going to
Iron
Florida,
Man material.
It's to lay on the beach, relax. not necessarily run a fucking marathon.
That's right.
That makes sense.
You said you did one about a year ago was the last one?
Before? The last one.
It was about a year ago, and then you just did one a week and a half ago.
A week and a half ago.
How much better did you do on this one than you did on
Thank
the
you for asking. I actually did, I cut a whole hour off my time,
an hour
which
off
is
the time.
Which is crazy. That's a lot of time, so I don't know.
Cheater. That's something.
Go on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's my. I got an e-bike now. It's really, it's great. It works a lot better and stuff.
He's got his Heelys.
Don't get me started on those e-bikes. So I see them in my neighborhood.
Now, you know, it's inspiring to see all these people that are, you know, trying really hard and everything. And it's also, you realize how crazy these guys are, right? But
did you shit yourself? I've seen a lot of marathon videos where people shit themselves.
Shit running down their legs.
Yeah. No, I
did. Did you wear a diaper?
But, you know, when you all
How do you think he's losing all that weight?
How do you prepare for that? Like you can't obviously go out, like, for Mexican food the night before, right? Like.
You got to eat light. Eat light the night before, for sure. Get the pasta in the night before that or something,
so
right?
So two nights before you carbo load.
They carbo load, right. That's what they used to call it back in the day. But, you know, when you're doing the swim, you're jumping in a, whatever, the ocean or
that's
a lake reservoir. And sure, get your piss out there.
Yeah.
But everyone's scrambling, so you're just getting slapped and everything. No one's doing it maliciously, but you're really getting knocked around and stuff. And it's kind of a... That's kind of unnerving, that first part of it. Whatever. You're glad to finally get out of the water and get on the bike. But the bike is the longest part of the race. It's like, you know, around 3 hours, depending on how good. Yeah, you're like, and the attraction is.
Yeah. Listen, you know what, I don't see why. Yeah. Listen, I was happy to do like the eating contest. That's where I set
my
goal.
So you know about pushing yourself,
pushing my limits. You know, like
that's right. You did some of those.
The taco contest.
Ringo.
I was the only non-competitive eater that joined, right? and my whole goal was to not finish last. That was it. I just wanted to not finish last. And so. Talking to Dexter.
How did you do?
Not last. Right. Yeah. I made my fucking goal, you know?
Yeah, nice.
And I think if there's another one, I think I could finish not last, maybe even move up.
Trim another
person, finish two people in front.
Not
right?
second to last.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah.
But I remember talking to, through you and Kobayashi, and he said to train, you drink a gallon of water. It's about eight pounds. Like it was a 10-minute contest. So try to drink a gallon of water in 10 minutes.
The day before though, right?
Yeah, this was I was fucking training, dude. Like months before.
Okay,
Twinkies, right. Carving up, all of it. You know, fuck yeah.
Twinkies.
I was all in. The water, you drink it to stretch your stomach, right? So I could almost finish the gallon of water in 10 minutes before I throw up.
Right.
And so I was like, okay. And so what Kobayashi, his tip was to 2 days before the competition, go eat as much food as you can eat. And then the day before, eat a shit ton of ice cream. Because the ice cream will go right through you, right? It melts and goes right through you. But it keeps your stomach stretched and empty. And I probably shouldn't be saying this in case there's a couple of people listening I'm going to compete against.
Trade secret.
God damn it.
Yeah. Fuck. Okay, so you know what it's like to train.
The magician never gives away his tricks, man.
You know the discipline that you need to have to get it.
Discipline, focus,
right?
Determination.
But
I get it. I get it.
But yeah, no, I don't
understand any of that.
When you're done, it feels pretty good. You feel pretty good about like, wow, okay, I just did that and stuff. And I really have a lot of, you know, admiration for all these other people that are
I do some exercise, but I don't like punishing myself physically the way you do. I like to punish myself emotionally more than physically.
That's how you should do it. But
that's how I stay in shape.
But so you're a depression guy too then.
Yeah.
Poverty.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. Poverty depression. Right. Yeah. But maybe the best part of the triathlon is the outfit. So the thing is, you got to wear a certain outfit because you're going to be in the water, and then you're not going to change when you get out of the water, and you got to get on the bike, so you got to have a butt pad, and then you don't want to change after you get off the bike, so you wear a tri kit. And so we have a couple pictures of the race.
Show that.
Let's see what we've got here. Okay, so that's on the run.
That's the tri-kit. Huh?
Yeah, that is it. That's a tri-kit right there.
My God.
And that's on the bike. See, I wanted evidence that I actually did. These aren't not staged photos. These are real photos. Actually,
exactly. If you stage them, they'd definitely look cooler, right? Like,
it'd look cooler. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I paid that guy to be behind me, so it looked like I beat somebody, right? There
you
go. Dude,
you gotta sell those shorts on like Offspring triathlon shorts.
But there's a finish line shot though. I want you know.
The money shot.
Well,
finished.
Yeah, I finished. I finished. I'm not winning any awards or anything, you know, definitely. But
and you look
you know,
not last also.
And not last.
I see it.
Not last. That's right. So anyway, it was cool. It was a cool experience. I went in to get my number. You got to do it the day before, or whatever. You go into this little convention center, and they said, "Oh, we've got a special tag for you over there." Anyway, they figured out who I am. They're like, "We would just love to interview you for Iron Man." And And I'm just like, I'm not going to stand around in that thing, that outfit, and talk for 10 minutes.
Oh, please, dude, please.
Well, you know.
Stretching around.
But I don't know. I think it would be fun. We should do something around it. If I do another one next year, maybe more of a thing, because it's a cool thing. I know I'm kind of, taking the piss out of my performance, but it's really cool.
Dude, you did.
I mean, you shaved an hour off your time.
That's right.
Whole race. That's great, and that's what you want to do. You forget competing with the guys that are ringers, right? You're not going to compete with those guys. You want to compete with yourself. You want to improve, you know. And you were able to do that, and then some. I think.
I mean, an hour.
So here's to shaving off
either
another
you really
hour
sucked
next time.
The year before, or like, I mean, because shaving an hour off is really fucking.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, you're out on the road for 6-7 hours, whatever. It's a freaking long time.
That's brutal,
imagine the
dude.
Amount of double doubles you could eat after if you did one.
Yeah.
So Trevor, our buddy who he did it with you.
He did.
He said, he goes, it's kind of counterintuitive. He goes, you want this to end so bad that you start going faster. You hurt yourself more.
Right.
To make it end more quickly.
That's right.
You know, it's like you're almost punishing yourself more to get done with it. You know? I know. Yeah,
yeah, maybe I'll do one next with you, Dexter. Yeah.
But you know what? Touring it's physical, right? I mean, it's there's definitely a physicalness just so that you have to get up and travel every day, and then you're jet lagged and you're up in the middle of the night and all that stuff. And that kind of it wears you out after a while. But the shows themselves are physical, and we're playing for whatever, an hour and a half now and stuff. And so, you know, that was kind of part of the motivation, too. I wanted to feel better for the shows and feel a lot
better. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, dude, the shows have been, like, you guys are fucking killing it, dude.
Oh, go on.
Thanks.
Stop it some more.
Stop.
Go
on. Don't stop.
No, you guys, I mean, dude, the shows have honestly never been funner, dude. Like, honestly.
We've been getting a lot of really good positive feedback from people that have been, you know, with us for 30 years, you know, saying that we're on top of our game, and it feels that way. It really does. And the crowds have been better than ever before.
You guys have really been like it shows. Everybody's having so much fun, right? So it's almost like I don't know like everyone who's in the band now is fucking so much fun, and they're in like just such positive energy.
What are you trying to say?
This is my favorite lineup. Yeah. I'll just rip the band-aid off. Yeah. I love this fucking lineup.
Yeah, no, we're having a great time. The tour's been great. We just did this U.S. summer tour, which was incredible. We haven't really talked about it, I guess, right? So much yet.
I don't think so.
We're about to go on it when we did the last podcast. But,
yeah, this is our first podcast since the U.S. tour. I think we did one between Canada or Australia, Europe, and the U.S.
Best shows we ever had.
Yep.
Biggest crowds we've
ever
had.
Same with the European tour before. Our biggest headlining shows ever in Europe, and this was our biggest headlining shows ever in the U.S.
Really, really great.
Tour-wise, yeah.
And just so grateful and like, whoa, you know, still going on.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, I think that's part of it when you're in a band for a long time. Like, you're always kind of waiting for it to like, okay, well, this is the end. Here we go, you know. We're playing the swap meet. And somehow... It's still going on, which is amazing. So
incredible. Yeah. Like I said earlier, you know, the fact that we still get to do this, you know, after, you know, the come out and play days, you know, being blown away then, it's still mind blowing that we get to do this and it's even better. And our fans were just incredible. Everyone that came out both in Europe and in the U.S. for the shows every night, it was just incredible. It seemed to get better and better.
Well, the energy feeds off of each other, right? So the crowd feeds off of your energy, and then you guys feed off of them, right? Definitely. So it's like,
But we're starting to see faces that we recognize, you know, almost every night in the crowd. And then sometimes they're bringing their kids now. I mean, we just have some of the best fans in the world. It's really cool. I see a lot of people, hey, I'm bringing my kids. Or fans go, I'm going to bring my dad. My dad was a big fan of yours,
yeah,
you know, 20 years ago. And
it is funny. Yeah, cool. We didn't see that a while ago, and we see a lot of that now. And maybe as uncool that would have seemed 20 years ago, now I'm stoked. I think it's great. I think it's so cool to see.
Absolutely. Other than my dad. My dad's always been there.
Yeah, he's always been there.
He's always been there.
That was good.
It's like this tour was a lot of fun and a lot of positive feedback. Like, same thing, you know, Daryl has a fan page on Facebook that he runs, and it's got like 17,000, 18,000, almost like 20,000 fans.
Good guy,
or something,
solid.
Right?
And he treats the fans great, too.
No, he's awesome.
Does things for the fans.
He's awesome. Yeah, and everybody just talks about, you know, everybody was so excited to go to the shows and nothing but, you know, like, wow, just amazed and floored. So,
a lot of positivity. It feels really good.
That's awesome. So. Yeah, you know, we want to play well, we want to deliver a good show and everything, but I mean, I think the most important thing is we want the crowd to have a good time, right? We're not there to prove anything about how good a song we can play or the deepest cut or whatever necessarily, and you know, we want the crowd to have a good time, and that's what we're striving for. And
I think we've come a long way in that regard. And how you and I you know, talk to the audience in between songs. We try to, you know, without talking too much, you know, we do like to address the audience and you know, check in, how you guys doing, you know, and have some fun and banter.
The banter's great, you know.
So it's been a lot of fun lately.
That was one of the, I think, the biggest challenges is that we started playing in clubs for 100 people, 200 people, right? And we came from the punk thing. The punk thing was that you are not the spectacle to be gazed on by the crowd. The punk thing was like, we're all having a big party together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, our stages were 12 inches high and all
and
that stuff.
The and the crowd was, you know, on the stage and right off the there. Stage throughout the show. It was like, and you know, interactive for sure.
I love that energy. I still do, right? I love when we get a chance to play smaller shows and stuff. So that was great. But that's kind of what we grew up. That's where we got our chops.
Right.
And so it was like, hey, how you doing? Look at that guy. You know, that sort of thing, right?
Right.
So then when you go, all of a sudden you're playing to where there's people that are 200 yards away in the back. I felt like, I don't know how to reach that guy back there because it's not the same.
He
can't, he can't relate the same way, right? And there's a different energy playing bigger shows. And people say, do you like the big shows better or the little shows? And I love them both. I love the little shows because you're right there in it. But the big shows have this energy that's insane, right? There's something really cool about it. So
nothing
it was all about
feels like it in the world. Yeah, it's almost an out of body experience.
Yeah.
Well, if you could get all those people right, like get everyone into it, that's fucking awesome. It's like an intimate show because everybody's just fucking rocking out, having.
Well,
a good time.
You can tell when you get them and when you don't. Fortunately, we are always able to kind of connect with the crowd,
especially with this lineup.
But yeah. Well, let's talk about let's talk about who's in the band. So it's me and you, of course, and then Brandon Pertzborn is on drums. He's been with us for a few months now.
Not
even a whole year.
Really great.
Phenomenal. Great guy. Great guy to hang out with, and just a phenomenal drummer. Just really, you know, he's.
Were you guys nervous though?
He's up there with Josh.
Because
for sure.
I mean, you guys have had good drummers.
Brandon's great.
Brandon's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Like he's so talented and so fun too, right?
Yeah.
Like
he's got great energy. He's just so consistent and just fun to. Fun to play with, and you know we're still working stuff out. You know he can change on a dime. You know he's if we want to let's try something else. You know at the very end of the song or whatever. You know and he's all about it. He loves the music. He's having a blast. Yeah. The way we found him is he did a video for Hammerhead. He said he remember when that song first came out. He's always loved it and he always wanted to play that And so he did a video for that, and somebody saw it and turned us on to it. I think it might have been somebody through management.
He just posted it on his Instagram.
Yeah. And so we saw it, and we're like, you know, asking around, and he'd played with a bunch of bands. He played with
he's played with some
Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah.
He played with Horror, Limp Bizkit.
He's
played with some big bands, and so he's definitely up for the challenge. He's got just a great attitude.
Well, he's extremely talented, and he's a great guy too, right? And same with Todd. Todd is so much fun,
Let's talk about Todd, too. Yeah. So Todd's been on bass for 5 years now?
I think so.
Yeah. And just phenomenal. You know, he was our utility guy. He was playing maybe some keyboards, but mostly just guitar and backing vocals.
Mm-hmm.
When the bass position opened up, he expressed some interest in that, and we said sure. And you know, we he's a guitar player mainly. He did play some bass in one of his cover bands, some Petty Cash stuff.
Yeah.
They do Tom Petty and Johnny Cash covers, but
they're awesome. You know, yeah,
they're the super fun band. If you ever get a chance to check them out. But that's not that's just playing bass for fun. That's not really focusing. And he took lessons. He figured out that playing bass is different than guitar. You want to be locked in with the drums. You know, it's a different feel. You know, with guitar, sometimes you want to lay back. Sometimes you want to be out ahead of it. You know, but with bass, you got to really get that groove and find the groove with the drummer. And he's been great at it. He's taken and
his
attitude.
Awesome,
he loves it. He loved learning it. You know. He just had a blast, and he's so fun to play with. He's up there having a great time every night, loving the crowd.
He's a fun guy to hang out with.
The crowd's loving him.
Too, right?
He's the Ronnie Wood of the band. He's the Ronnie Wood. That's what I call him.
Pretty much.
The fun guy.
Only better looking.
Yeah,
he's so goddamn good looking. That guy.
Yeah, that's probably standing next to him. Kind of fucked up.
Yeah, and then there's. And then there's Jonah. Anyway, so Jonah's great too.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into what I think you might go into because I don't think we're ready to go into that. But
okay, I was just going to say Jonah plays a little bit of everything, and
okay,
you know, he's our utility guy. He took Todd's spot.
Oh my
god!
I thought you were going to say he was vegan.
We're not ready to get into that yet.
Okay,
we're not ready. Save it.
We won't talk about his being. Yeah.
Let the audience get to know him first.
Yeah. But then, no, we got to get him in here.
Then they'll accept him.
Yeah, we got to get him
in here. He's originally a drummer, and that's his you know, main instrument was drumming. And then he can play circles around me on guitar. He's a phenomenal guitar player. Also plays some keyboards and stuff. So he can really
hit scare you a little bit.
Cover
right?
it all.
How he good plays he is at guitar,
dude. I know. Yeah. See, when
Noodles
see,
practices a lot more now.
Yeah. Now I had to stay home. I had a member of my family was ill, and I had to stay home a couple years ago. And so that's when we first met Jonah. Jonah was filling in for Todd, who filled in for me. And I was fine with Todd filling in for me on guitar.
Sure.
I'm glad it wasn't Jonah filling in for me on guitar because I might not have made it back into the band.
Yeah.
Jonah is just that good. He's a great, great guitar
player.
Yeah.
So got a great group of guys and stuff. Yeah. And we're just having the best time. Best shows ever. Yeah. It's really great.
Well, it shows, man, because, I mean, like I said, I honestly think this is my favorite. I've been watching you guys since with tens of people at the Anti Club.
Yeah.
This lineup right now, I think, is honestly my favorite. As a longtime fan of the band,
mine too.
It's just great, and I think the energy kind of, like I said, the crowd feeds off of that, and then I think that you guys feed off of that, you know, that crowd energy, right?
So for sure, these tours have just been incredible. Once I was home for a week, it was hard to take it all in. Once I was home for a week, I kind of just looked back and went, wow, that was crazy. And I just reached out to, you know, the guys in the band and management and just went, you guys, that was really incredible. I mean, I'm starting to sober up and come down off the high a little bit.
Have it sink
just
in,
been
right?
Incredible, yeah. You know what,
sink
incredible
in.
Run.
It was great.
So.
But
You're gonna be able. I'm just curious how long you think you can do this. I literally just went and saw Cheap Trick and Rod Stewart.
Okay.
And Rod Stewart, that motherfucker. That guy, fucking guy is 78 years old.
Is he?
Wow.
And he was fucking rocking out, man. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck? Is that guy must be just backstage doing cocaine and oxygen fucking shots. And he played like 2 hours. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know how he did it.
That's awesome.
We went and saw Paul McCartney about five years ago, and he was incredible and played like a two and a half, three-hour show. I saw the Rolling Stones about 4 or 5 years ago, right before the pandemic.
Like 20 years ago, incredible. they used to get shit for being 60 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And now they're
go.
I just saw also Iron Maiden, they played up in Seattle. And holy shit, he's up there fucking sword fighting a 12-foot Eddie like on a like a two-level stage. Like,
yeah,
they're incredible. Nico's and not 70, missing a beat.
74,
he's
75.
Great.
I'm just what the fuck, dude?
Just like, imagine if they did triathlons.
Yeah,
imagine,
holy shit.
Imagine where they'd be.
So I'm not trying to keep up with him. All I'm trying to do is just, I want to be able to do this for as long as I can. I love doing this, so I'm just trying to develop some better habits.
I got Jonah.
I'm trying to. Right?
So he's ready.
Exactly. That's exactly what. Yeah.
He's ready.
I don't need to keep up with him. I just need to beat Jonah.
Yeah.
One step. Hey, you just gotta not be last, baby.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah.
Dude, I love it when I see bands that keep on doing it because it's like, all right, more time for us.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Go AC/DC,
and
right?
And it bumps
right
me out. There's, you know, some of our friends are calling it quits. NoFX has played their last show. Sum 41 is winding things down.
Yeah.
I'm bummed. I love both those bands, and
do
I
you
don't,
really think NoFX is done, though?
I don't know. That, I mean, that's what they say. I hope not. I honestly hope they do something in the future.
I think they'll be back.
So, although I'm going to get a new surfboard. Yeah, I'm gonna
I
get
have
a new
no reason to think that other than... Maybe I just want them back, but
I hope they don't start doing shows again until Smelly makes me a surfboard. He's the drummer's. he shapes surfboards, and we talk. I'm gonna have him make me a surfboard now.
Okay. Yeah. I know it's interesting, especially with COVID. We were talking about, like, I wonder if some bands just aren't gonna come back, right? And
right.
I think we saw that with a few, right?
Yeah.
That they just couldn't, like, you know, if you're a band that doesn't play for very many people, then you have a job, you had a job, and hopefully you kept it. But it was the kind of the, like the guys in the middle where they were just barely making a living, and then they're screwed, right?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, but
heartbreaking.
Anyway,
yeah.
Heartbreaking.
We're very lucky. We were.
Well,
we're
on top of that,
it's
just all the
it,
venues
but...
that have shut down too, right? Like,
yeah.
That really kind of limited the touring and stuff too. So, as a fan, you know, I want all the bands to come up to Seattle, right? But yeah, there's a lot of times that, you know, there's not a fucking place to play.
Did you guys lose some clubs?
Yeah, we did. You know, we lost the Highline. There's just a couple places. I mean, we got a few places left. Between that and Amazon taking over and, you know, kind of running all the clubs out, it's really been kind of fucked up. But
hey, speaking of old artists, how's Mariah Carey doing?
Flawless as
ever. No one got the joke. I'm just kidding.
You know she's flawless. Come on, man.
Well, you're a huge fan. I think everyone knows by now that you're a huge Mariah Carey fan.
Huge.
And so you sent me a text the other day because it was a flyer of her shows coming up, her Christmas shows coming up.
I've already got tickets.
Do you really?
It's 36 more sleeves as of the date we're recording this.
Now,
that I'll be seeing her.
Where did the attraction start for
Vision
you?
Vision of Love. Right at the beginning. Right at the beginning.
Well, you didn't even finish the question.
I've liked her right from song number one, man. And I've been head over heels.
Now, is it audio? Did you hear her first and go, I love this voice? Or did you see a video first and go?
Probably not. I probably
that?
Saw the video
okay,
first.
Yeah. Who's that?
I can't confirm, but knowing me, it was
probably
the
video. Yeah,
probably
yeah, yeah.
Same way.
Knowing
like,
you the way I do, that's what I figured.
Same way I like Megan Stallion, right? Like I saw her on Saturday Night Live, and I was like, the fuck is this?
Megan
Thee Stallion.
Is pretty
that's right.
stunning.
Yeah, she's
that's right.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit! Yeah. And so then, you know, so that was definitely visual first.
Right.
But Mariah Carey, like I said, I mean, I've always just liked her right from song one. Right?
So how long did it take you to knock one out?
I can finish in a video. I can finish in a video. If we're talking the honey
now,
video.
Now, like a whole YouTube video or an Instagram 30 seconds.
If we're talking the honey video, I can probably make it before the chorus.
Yeah.
Maybe. The first chorus.
Maybe I'll,
dude,
one
of the funniest
but that honey,
things.
That honey video, like the... like there's just a like the beginning where like it's just a setup before the song even starts. Like I can sometimes finish.
One of the funniest pranks I ever saw on the internet was your buddy Joel. You met Joel in the service?
I met Joel on Grindr. Unfortunately, I met Joel through.
I think you guys were in the service together.
Yeah, no, he wasn't in the service with me. I was in the Army Reserves.
Yeah.
for, you know, like right when I was 18, I joined the Army Reserves, but
thank you for your service.
Come on, it was Army Reserves, you know, right. But
my dad was in the Air Force Reserve, yeah. So yeah.
Well, thank him for his service. Yeah. I guess we'll sit here.
Let me finish the story though. So your buddy Joel, who I think is hysterical, really funny guy, just, you know, biker dude, you know, facial hair. He knows how much you guys used to just rip each other on Facebook, just the most crass, rudest jokes.
Do.
Well, Joel figured out how to do the facial software stuff, so he would do Mariah Carey videos with his face on it and just send them to him, tag him to him.
Not funny.
It was so funny. Oh my God, it was the funniest thing ever.
Not even funny, a little bit. Not even a little funny.
You love Mariah hysterical. So much that you've got a Mariah tattoo.
Mariah
is that right?
Tattoo, yeah. I got her tattooed right here on my leg where I can watch it and finish off that if I need to. But
if you're in a pinch,
yeah,
if you're like, you know, not in front of your computer.
Listen, I grew up when it was the Sears catalog, and it's like, I could do that. I could finish with this.
Okay.
You know,
Sears catalog.
So yeah, I mean,
You've done worse.
I've done worse.
You've worked
Joel,
with less.
When
with
Joel
less.
Was yeah. posting all those videos, would his face creep in while you were thinking about
I could
Mariah.
Still finish. I would just look at, I'd focus on the body, not the face, you know? So I just train my eyes, you know, to look lower.
Do you think Mariah Carey knows who you are? Like, does she know how you feel about her?
Well, I've sent her lots of messages. She hasn't responded. Although maybe she did with that Obsessed song. I've never got to like see her. I mean, I've seen her in, you know,
you've
in concert.
Been to concerts. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never got to meet her, you know, like, right. But there, I mean.
Well, I think security's probably on to you if they hear any of
they
this.
They still
now,
let me in.
And,
they still let me in, though.
They
so,
let you in the concert, but nowhere in, near
yeah,
backstage.
You know, there was a couple. I mean, yeah. Back in the early 2000s, man, there was a couple of shows where, like, I think she had an outfit change every song, and it got smaller and smaller. I was like, one more fucking encore, you know, one more encore, and she's gonna be dressed like Britney, you know, like I'm like, come on, people, keep cheering, come on, you know, it just got littler and littler. I was like, oh fuck, man, God, but yeah, no, I'm definitely a huge fan. I think she's beautiful, and I love her music. I mean, honestly, when Glitter came out, I like we went that opening weekend. I took my wife with me to go
the
see
movie?
Glitter, the movie, yeah. And literally opening weekend, we're the only two people.
Did it last more than one weekend? Didn't it close after the first weekend?
I saw it opening weekend, and we were the only people in the theater.
Okay, yeah, it was pretty
I loved it,
received,
actually. I think it's a great movie, and I've probably seen it, you know, dozens of times, actually.
How does your wife feel about your infatuation with Mariah Carey?
She gets it. She gets it.
When we were signed to Columbia, when we were signing to Columbia... Yeah. We actually flew out and met with Tommy Mottola, who was married to Mariah
at the time. Yeah, it was really cool.
And he goes, oh, I really like you guys. He goes, Mariah really likes you guys, too. And he goes, you know who she really likes is that Rancid.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Sort of a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, totally.
Well, fuck that guy.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
No. Yeah. Well, Mariah.
He'll have you whacked.
I probably shouldn't. Back off a little
no,
bit.
No, Tommy, we're full... Mad respect.
Yep, yep, yep. You actually have tickets for Mariah Carey?
Yeah.
Which show are you going to?
The LA one, November 17th.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll be down here.
Okay.
I'm coming down for
that.
Are
you trying to get us to go? Are we going?
Yeah,
or?
Let's go.
All right.
You guys going to go?
We have any pull there?
Not anymore.
Come on.
Thanks a lot, Blackwell.
God damn it. No, she wrote a song just totally blasting her marriage, right? Like, it's a great song, but like her marriage to Tommy Mottola, you know.
Right.
But yeah, now she's got some other.
I love
fucking,
a good breakup song.
She's got her fucking some other nudnik she's with now, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's only because she hasn't met me, I think. You know.
All right.
But whatever.
She'll get around to it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think, you know, that's why. Like, I'm like, maybe. That's why I told Andrea, I said, listen, we'll take two cars in case I go home with Mariah. Like, just I don't know, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What are we coming up on? 15 years of Rise and Fall, Raging Grace.
Yeah. You know, we get messages from our record label all the time saying, hey, we want to do a special edition of Rise and Fall, Raging Grace because it's been 15 years. But what they, I don't know if they realize this or not, but like we've put out 10 albums, so you can pick almost any year.
Yeah, seriously.
And there's going to be an anniversary of something, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, all right, well, Rise and Fall 15. Okay, great. And, you know, it was.
And they want to remarket it and, you know, try to make some more money.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last year it was Ixnay because it was 25.
Right.
For Ixnay.
I mean, and it's cool because we do different stuff. You know, we get involved and, you know, add some different artwork, some different content. And, you know.
Right.
Fans love that shit, though, too, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds, and honestly, there's fans that have gotten into you guys at Americana, right? Or later, even days go by, that I've seen where fans are like, hey, this is where I learned about Offspring. Shit.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a good opportunity for a lot of people to kind of even be introduced to some of the older stuff.
Yeah. So you never know. You never know what we might commemorate because any year, like, for example, this would have been the year to do Americana.
Yeah.
25 years of Americana this year. And somehow, I don't know.
30 years of Black Ball.
That's next year, buddy.
Yeah,
you're coming on tour with us next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to take the whole year off. It's like 30 years of Black Ball.
Yeah. So we got to make sure we hit the next, whatever the next one is, we got to hit Americana on that one. But
right.
But this time around, it's Rise and Fall. And I agree that the record company always comes up with, like, they want to do something special for the fans, and they make crazy lithograph stuff and foil and, you know, different colored vinyl, and it's really cool. So happy to be a part of it and stuff. It's
well,
really
you
cool.
Should do, you know, if you're going to do that too, like on tours, you guys should do like a heavier, you know, maybe revisit a few songs you don't typically play off of that
some of the
record,
deep cuts.
Right? Yeah,
absolutely,
you know, some of the deeper ones that the fans always kind of want and kind of clamor for. So
I always love that. I always love doing that. And it's a challenge. Some of that stuff, you know, we've had to go back and learn a lot of that stuff. But some of that stuff, like we never did
Something
Jonah to Believe
doesn't.
In off Smash, and we had to learn that. You know,
we never played
stuff
that
on Americana that we never learned. And we did some of that. Same with Ixnay, too. What was like Change the World, right?
For sure.
Something
yeah.
we never played before. We had to learn that. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Some stuff. Yeah, that was something. Yeah. All right. But that was the first record we recorded in our own studio. Pretty much the whole thing was done.
Rise and Fall.
Rise and Fall, where
we're at, here.
And the first record we did with Bob, which was great. Got to meet him and stuff, and that was really cool.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, everyone says, so this is your third or fourth record with Bob, whatever. You're like, what's it like working with him? You got to understand, we don't just go in and make a record anymore. When Bob has time for us, you know, and we have time to get with him, hey, how's this look? You know, we just get together and we work. It's like we've never stopped working together. It's not like it's been almost like one continuous project since Rise and Fall, Rage and Grace.
Yeah. Like, you know, in Ixnay, we went in for 10 weeks. They booked 10 weeks. We demoed a lot of it or some of it or whatever. Yep. And here we go, 10 weeks. And we were just in like every day. And, I didn't want to do it that way after a while. It's just like, I don't know, it's kind of too much, actually, right? And I feel like you almost need to take a step back every once in a while and look at, you know, take a week off and then listen to it again and go, oh, it's obvious I should have done this or this guitar sounds shitty or something like that, right? So we ended up kind of switching to more sporadic, especially as our touring picked up, right? We tour a lot. So when we're kind of in between tours, we'll see if Bob has time or whatever. Or if we have time, we'll just record. So like we just got done with, it was about a week, right? And we kind of finished a song and we got a good start on another one, and you know, and the one that we finished, there was some great stuff that we changed that we wouldn't have thought of changing before, right? That makes it a lot better. So I really like working that way. But like you said, it's not like these four discrete times that we worked on a record. It's been sort of continuous,
like when we worked with Dave Jordan on Ixnay and Americana. That was a chunk for Ixnay and a chunk for Americana. A little bit like that with Brendan O'Brien on the two records we did with him as well. But then once we started working with Bob, it's like, you know, hey, you know, things are moving. Do you have time? Can we get in next week, you know, next month or whatever? Yeah. Boom.
Let's do it. So,
and we pick up pretty much right where we left off.
Yeah.
It's always great working with Bob.
Yeah.
Well, Bob's a good dude, man.
Absolutely.
And that, very smart. Knows his shit, right?
He got us into hockey. He would he likes hockey. Fuck, being Canadian. Yeah.
He's fucking produced every goddamn song that's played at an arena. I mean, that guy's the king of arena rock.
Metallica.
You know, like, holy shit.
Yeah. Motley Crue. Yeah, we went and saw a Ducks game, and they kept playing all these songs. Like, oh, there's Bob.
Oh, Bob song.
There's Bob. Yeah, oh, Bob song. You
it's
know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that record, too, Rise and Fall, was the, one of the first times where he was really encouraging us to demo a lot of stuff. I tended to sit on a song until it was pretty much together, and then here kind of it is. But he was like, why don't you demo something even if you only got half of it or whatever, and then kind of see.
Yeah,
so we ended up going through a lot more material to get what we wanted and stuff. And so, like, the one that ended up being the biggest song, You're Gonna Go Far, Kid, you know, you'd have working titles sometimes, right? And then you couldn't even make up working titles after a while. So this was demo, I think it was 21, actually. Like, just crazy to demo that much stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it was like the 21st thing we demoed and ended up being the biggest one on the record. And now it's like,
it's one of our biggest songs ever.
Yeah, it might be the biggest song, right? I think it streams the most.
Yeah, it goes off every night. Every time
it
just goes off.
Like,
incredible.
It's all right.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know. That was a cool record, cool time doing that record.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the reissue, Rise and Fall, Raise Your Grace, you got to talk about the story,
right,
because
okay,
they fucked up the vinyl.
They did, yeah.
And they're supposed to make, they're reissuing the vinyl, right?
They're reissuing the vinyl, and it was supposed to be the non-clean edit, right? Just supposed to be the regular edit.
It's not that we don't want to have clean edits on our songs. It's not like this is our choice, right?
But you have to do it for different radio outlets.
There are certain radio people, and back then there was Walmart and stuff like that.
Yeah, Walmart
retailers that wouldn't sell it, and you just had to. It was just one of those things.
Yeah.
And we had You're Gonna Go Far, Kid has Dance Fucker Dance, and Shit Is Fucked Up, of course, and then there was one other bad word on that record. I forget exactly which song.
Probably
was
another fuck thrown in somewhere, you know.
but there's some kind of code for the record, you know. I don't know if it's the UPC symbol code or whatever, and that was kind of back then, 15 years ago. Somebody at the label or somewhere in the printing fucked up the code.
They call it the clean version, the clean or the explicit version.
But the code should have been the unedited version, you know, all the fucks and all that. And somebody fucked up back then, so they took that code and ran with it and printed it all up, not realizing, oh shit, somehow the clean edit is what we're printing, not the fucking what it should have been.
So here we are with this fancy reissue, right?
Yeah.
the colored vinyl and the crazy cover and stuff for the real fans, the collectors, and it's got the clean version on it, right?
And our fans are pissed.
Shit
we're
is not
pissed.
That great right now.
No.
Shit's not totally messed up.
Yeah. Shit kind of sucks a little bit. Stuff kind of sucks.
You know, when you're reissuing things, unless, shit happens, and it happened. It was fucked, but it pissed us off. So
the person responsible was fired.
He's been sacked.
Flogged. Taken out behind the woodshed. And,
so we started seeing messages on social media pretty quickly, right? Like, hey, what's going on with this, right? And we saw one and then two.
Nobody was stoked on it. Surprisingly.
Nobody was happy.
Nobody was stoked. And so they're like, oh, no, what do we, you know, the record label's panicking. Of course, they realize they've made a mistake and they're going to have to replace all these people's orders.
In tears. Like the guy responsible was in tears. The guy who picked the whatever. One of the guys, project manager or whatever, was in tears.
So like we have to make an announcement. And at first I'm like, well, don't make too big a deal out of it. How quickly can you fix it? But then it became clear that we had to say something about it. So we drafted. Actually, I got to give you credit, Noodles. You did this one. So
I wrote the majority of the announcement. Yeah. And
how did it go?
Came from the heart. I don't remember. Like, fuck this bullshit.
Yeah, this is total fucking bullshit.
You could have just said, shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
And just left it like that.
We are intelligent people that love our curse words.
Yeah. It was very...
No, it was a great, response, actually.
Expletive laden.
And people were... I
mean, I wanted to keep
it
short and sweet, but, I mean, fuck, we're not, we're not Boy Scouts. I was an altar boy. I'm no longer an altar boy. I can cuss now. I'm an adult.
Of course, we would not want to release something like that, right?
Right.
And
you know, and what do you say when it's all going down? You don't want to go stupid label or whatever, you know. And they're right, doing their best to fix
it.
So
I'll say they, you want me to say it?
Yeah, sure.
Stupid label. So,
but really, I think the original mistake was done 15 years ago and nobody picked up on it.
There should have never been a clean version, in my opinion.
That's the mistake. That's the true mistake.
Yeah. If we're going to narrow it, like take it down to the, that's where the fucking problem was. Fuck a clean version.
Yep.
Did you really think shit was fucked up was going to be on a rate? Like, you got to, I guess rap songs, they bleep out like half the song. So
yeah.
I guess it makes sense that you
the
could
thing
think
about
that,
clean versions, though, is you know what they're saying. Like the kid and like the parents, okay, I bought the clean version for my kid. The kid knows that burp is fuck. You know, they know, the kids know. So you're just lying to yourselves. It's, you know, it's really more to appease the adults.
So is there going to be a clean version of the next record?
They're the perfect child. He's never heard the F word before. Like, oh, fuck off.
Is there a clean version on this next record? Do we have any bad words?
They're better not.
They're better not.
Well, if you want to hire me to throw in a couple of fucks, it's going to cost you a couple of double doubles.
It's funny. We have to ask. We don't even think, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's some curse words. There
probably is.
Yeah. I'm trying to
throw in a fuck. At least...
So, but the best part of the whole story is now those mistakes, the clean versions, those are the collector's items, right? It turned out that they're, the hardcore fans are really buying those up, right?
Well, you can't buy them anymore. Yeah. So, that's actually like what...
They recalled them and
no one's fixed them, turning them back in. No, they're just getting, everyone's just getting another copy of it, just like a record in a sleeve, you know, that's sent to them with all the proper fucks and shit.
We
got to
make some nice versions of the next record. Yeah. Just a couple hundred.
A couple hundred.
I think we should make some extra dirty.
Extra dirty.
You know, twice
throw
the fucks.
Throw in a couple of extra fucks.
Just have a bunch of cussing at the end for fun.
We could do all that.
Just random.
Do all that.
Fuck F-bombs. I'm right here. I'll audition right here.
Wait, so has the...
I get to cover that line on live, but it's a fun one to do.
Yeah.
So that all got fixed, right? It all got sent out?
Yeah.
I think so. I think the ones that were still in stores that hadn't actually gotten to the customer, I think they were able to
recall those.
And,
yeah, I know everybody's got...
that was the plan.
I have my thumb on the pulse now in Daryl's fan group page. Everybody's getting their copies. They've been receiving them. I think the people overseas or something, like it's been a little slower, but... Everybody kind of stateside has already gotten theirs.
Nice.
Right on. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Nice.
Let's just talk about how, I mean, Sum 41 and Simple Plan were great. They were great every night. The fans were coming early, both Simple Plan fans and Sum 41 fans. They would change who would go on or, you know, first from time to time.
Who went on first was different.
But
it was
packed from the first note all the way through to the end.
It was.
And the fans stayed from the first band all the way through to the end. We've done tours in venues like that where it's not like that for the first couple bands.
Yeah.
We've been playing and you're still having fans kind of stroll
it's
in.
It's happened to us.
So it was rad. But both those bands were great. They killed it every night. Simple Plan has a lot of really poppy songs, but they rock too. They come out. Yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with Chuck, the drummer. The drummer's just phenomenal. Hits really, really heavy, and the guitar players. Jeff is a shredder for sure.
Yeah. It was a great. It was a great bill, man. I mean, I think the three bands all together. Like I said, everybody just loved all three bands, and again, you could tell that it's, you know, there's a lot, you know, kind of friendships involved, and you know, a lot they kind of came out to sing song and with you guys, and everybody was stoked on it, and you could kind of pick up that vibe that it's not just like no one just kind of went out there to earn a paycheck, right? Like everybody was out there having fun, and again, the crowd was all into all three bands, right? So they, you know, the bands kind of, I think.
And all three bands were into the audience every night. Yeah. Like you said, they're coming out to rock and to have fun. You know, Pierre is such a great frontman, and he really enjoys being out there. Same with Derek. All those guys in Sum 41 are phenomenal players, and they practice backstage and... you know, just super cool guys to hang out with, too. Yeah. Just, it was a very, very chill.
Nine guitarists and two bass players. Three bands, nine guitars, two bass players. You do the math. You figure it out.
Okay, wait, hold on. Let me. Yeah.
I was feeling really nervous on that. I was not nearly one of the best guitar players. I was definitely. I don't know if I was last, but I was close. Yeah, no, like you in the eating contest.
Not last. That's all you gotta set the bar, baby. That's where you set the bar. Not last.
Yeah. There was one show where we had we were doing Get a Job, Why Don't You Get a Job, and we had Pierre and Derek come out and sing with us.
That was a blast.
Which was really cool.
At Jones Beach, yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, everybody loved that. I think a lot of people kind of shared it and on social
media. What is our new saying? The best guitar player in the room is the one having the most fun. Then I'm probably the best guitar player in the room. I really do enjoy what I'm doing.
Well, if you define it like that, then sure.
They say that about surfers. The best surfer in the lineup is the one having the most fun.
It sounds like he's trying to convince you of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I swear. That's the best one.
That's how it works.
If you're having the most fun, you're the best.
So, right. No, if you're the drunkest, you're the best.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm having a lot of fun when I'm drinking. That's Shane McGowan from the Pogues said, well, we play better when we're sober, but we have more fun when we're drunk.
Yeah. That's true.
No, it was a really great tour, and I think, like I said, I think the three bands really, like, I think people were extremely stoked on all three bands,
definitely,
right? Like,
yeah.
So it was a great build.
And like I said, they showed up early and stayed, you know, till we were done, after our encore.
No
phenomenal.
Pressure, but your guys are going to have to beat it next year. So
I know, right?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
But no pressure.
So who are some of your favorite bands that we've toured with? Some that stick out.
Oh, jeez.
I know we've done toured with
so many over the
so
years.
Many great bands.
I mean, you know, when I had Nitro, we signed those bands because they were, you know, bands that we admired, you know, and we were friends with and became friends with them. So we got to tour with so many of those bands, like the Vandals,
of course,
AFI and Guttermouth and TSOL and all that stuff. Yeah. So those were some of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All of those bands. The Summer Nationals was a really fun tour with Bad Religion, and then some of the old school punk bands that joined that. Stiff Little Fingers were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Every night.
One of my favorite is SNFU. When you guys play with SNFU, those guys were fucking. I used to love Cheap Pig. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
RIP, you know, but
yeah, sure.
I like
that band a lot. Yeah.
Fuck, they were amazing. You know.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean, playing with Rancid, especially those early tours when things were going off for both bands was really cool. Pennywise, of course, and we still
Pennywise
do shows
and
with
No Effects were just.
Well,
yeah,
dude,
really
I think one of my favorite was Strung Out and AFI.
Oh, yeah,
that tour.
Shit, 94 still,
something like that. That was fucking
great.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I just remember having so much
I really
much
like
fun.
Strung Out. Those guys are nice guys, too.
Yeah.
And
fun to drink
little,
with.
Little metal, but I kind of like that as a guitar player.
Well, I love
mean,
it.
They're shredders.
Well, that double bass drum is, fuck, I, they're great. Like, I love those guys. And they're super fun live and fun to drink with. And that was one of my favorite, you know, that to kind of see.
We've toured with some great all girl bands. L7, Sum 41, L7 Lunachicks. Sorry, Sum 41.
Yeah, you're not girls.
But unfortunately, back when we toured with them, we had a lot of knuckle dragger dudes in the audience that just did not. They weren't nice to the girl bands. Melissa Auftemar probably had it worst.
I remember that. I felt really bad about that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean,
she was great, but.
Look, we know what it's like to be the opening band. It's hard, right? Because, you know, they're not there to see you, and you're just hoping to get people to, you know, dig it.
Yeah.
And it's hard, and you feel self-conscious because, you know, they're not there for you and stuff. And
right.
Especially if, God forbid, you're not exactly the same genre. Like, you know, if we go on before freaking Gorilla Biscuits, right? You know, they're just like agnostic front or whatever, just staring at us like, oh God, get out. Right. So that was tough. So we were very sympathetic to that happening to other bands. And
for sure.
And sometimes, unfortunately, with the girl bands, it was kind of the worst, you know, especially back in the late 90s.
A lot of 90s. Sexism too, you know, there was a lot of that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, in the 90s, it was kind of a little more rampant, I think, than now.
For sure. Yeah.
But the thing was, like, you know, we had songs called I've Got No Self-Esteem. It wasn't like we were Limp Bizkit, Break Shit. Like, I didn't see us drawing that audience, right? It didn't make sense that our audience was making those kinds of comments, right, and stuff. And it was just so weird. But we always yelled at him. You know?
We
just
and you know what? All those bands really did kind of hold their own, especially like the Lunatics seemed like they just knew who they were enough. They didn't give a fuck. They were okay. Fuck you, Musclehead. I'm playing for the, you know,
the other
the
people
that get it.
Out,
you know,
yeah.
Same with L7. They would just go out and kick ass every night, and just, you know, great bands and solid people.
Well, it's crazy. So. Well, times have changed so much now, right? With bands like Bad Cop, and there's so many great female fronted bands, Interrupters, you know, that are, you know, Pussy Riot, so many bands that are just so fucking good that now it's not even a thing, I don't think, right? So not like
I wonder
the 90s.
If they still like I wonder if Bad Cop. I think it is different. I think it's
I think things have changed. I mean, listen, me personally,
it'd be interesting next time I run into them, I'll ask. You know, I know Lynn and Stacy fairly well.
Yeah, well, I think you get like every like 500 miles, you get towards the center of America, you get like 10 years back in time.
Is that how it works?
Issues, I think so.
Circles.
That's kind of my probably the closer you get to the center of Oklahoma, maybe not so much, but definitely the coast. Right. I think things are much more accepted.
You don't think just because of the internet and social media, that things are, the world's getting smaller. Like even kids in Oklahoma have, TikTok now,
Nothing against Oklahoma.
You haven't been on Facebook in a while, I don't think. People are
nothing
devolving.
Against, of course.
We're literally devolving with more information. Yeah. So no, I don't think that.
Right. More information is not helping.
Yeah. It's actually hurting things right now. So
there's an argument there,
I 100%
for sure.
Don't think that.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
No, I think I don't want to shit on rural America, because I think there's some really, great fans, first of all, there.
For sure.
You know, and I fucking love getting out into the country and the less populated, parts.
Oh, totally. I've worked as an insurance adjuster. I've worked in I do a lot of storms, right? Like when there's a storm in different places. And obviously where the storms are, are kind of the, more kind of flyover states, right? And everybody's actually is super cool, Everybody's really rad.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, everybody really wants the same thing, I think, right? And everybody just wants to live their lives how they want to live their lives. But and nobody's as divided as I think the media portrays, I think, right? And I think that's really what the dividing. I don't want to get into a bunch of
right.
Shit. Especially drunk.
Please tell me when you go to the more rural red states, you wear your Garth Brooks Gorilla Biscuits shirt?
Oh, 100%. Come on.
Yeah.
You know me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely, when I go look at people, because I'll go work a storm. I'll be out there for a month, right? Just looking at regular people's cars.
Right, right.
And
so when you say storm, like hurricanes or tornadoes?
Yeah, tornadoes, hurricanes, hailstorms, I'll go out and just go work at a storm for a month, right?
Wow.
I went the Moore, Oklahoma tornado through.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that was surreal,
crazy, right?
Dude. Actually go out there and see it was holy shit, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like I said, everybody, pretty much just wants the same thing, right? Like everybody's just really, everybody just wants to pay their taxes for,
I don't know if that's true.
Library.
I don't think that's
roads
true.
Roads and libraries.
Not everybody wants to pay their taxes.
Yeah. the only place I ever had crazy shit was Mississippi. That's where people were you're a Yankee, man. You're a fucking Yankee.
Carpetbagger.
Yeah, I've never had more people tell me
Seattle.
I should probably not get into it too many. I don't know. There was a couple of times where I was just really floored the way people talk to me.
Yeah.
We travel
all over the world, but we travel. I mean, we're traveling in a cocoon where we're this rock band, and we get preferential treatment everywhere we go. Occasionally I can just go walk around and go get something to eat or go to a store or something and just deal with the locals, and they don't know who I am. But
But look at those glasses. Yeah. I mean, come on. How often is that really going to happen?
I don't know who you are. Yeah, seriously.
My glasses aren't nearly as bad as they used to be.
You were telling me that you made the mistake the other day of riding around your neighborhood on a bicycle with no hat on.
I was riding my wife's bike, too. So a girl's bike with a basket and flower basket on front because it held my water bottle.
Riding down PCH. And people are going, hey, Noodles.
Well, it was the air show. It was the HB air show, and it was packed. But it was great people watching. But yeah, like I was getting called out.
So you thought you could just drive around, on a bike, on a fucking girl's bike? You know, that's the thing. Like some of these people they get these fucking cars, these Lamborghinis and Ferraris, and then they got to get them as like. Not enough that they have a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, but they got to get a fucking bright green. So, like, more, look at me. In case you didn't see, I'm in a Ferrari. It's fucking bright green so you don't miss it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Don't fucking ride around a girl's bike with no fucking hat. What the fuck is the matter with you?
That's the same thing. Don't you see? You're as bad as that asshole in a bright green Ferrari.
Yeah.
I wish I was in a bright green Ferrari. I was on a bike with a flowered basket on it.
Yeah. That screams, look at me. Yeah. I would fucking stare.
I would stare. I got a black hat, and I'm gonna start wearing sunglasses now. And
all right,
go out incognito.
No one will tell.
Yeah,
cool.
All right,
is that it?
I'm ready to take a break.
I gotta pee.